Oh, no, that's okay. That's right. God's still God. You could always record it later. So, Colossians 1:25. Dr. Worrell did a sharing on this many years ago, and it was probably one of the most dynamic, most inspiring sharings on this section of God's Word that I've heard in my entire life. Colossians 1:25 says, "Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the Word of God." Even the mystery, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Perhaps one of the most profound, most misunderstood things in all Christianity is the reality of Christ in you. We have so much power and we don't even realize it. And we have so much authority. We have this great ability that we possess, yet we don't even realize it. Oh, what power the church has, if only they knew it. Christ in you. Christ in you. The three most misunderstood words. I almost say that the mystery is still a mystery. Oh, man. So yeah, once I began to realize the capability and the power that I possess through Christ who is in me, everything else began to get a whole lot better as well. And the truth of the matter is we just have to stop trying so hard to get what it is that we think we need to be capable men and women of God, because we've already got it. You know, when you pray for what you already possess, prayer becomes stale and it becomes boring. Prayer is for the unexpected, right? Prayer is for the impossible. Prayer is reaching up to God, not saying, "Help me understand my righteousness, my peace." You know, that's self-centered. It's all about me, my needs, my peace, my righteousness. God says you already have peace. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1 says this to be true. And how about you do this? How about you put your foot down and say, "You know what, devil? Out of here. In the name of Jesus Christ, I have peace. And I have every other promise that the Word of God says I have." Now, what role will you play in appropriating and initiating the power of God in your life? Hey, I'm not preaching here. I'm in the same thing. You know, we play around with this from time to time, but I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. Those are not lies. Those are truths of God's Word. You know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, who infuses me with inner strength. That is the truth of the Word. You know, in Colossians it says that we are complete in Him. And you know what? That's either true or it's not true. And it's true. You know, man's basic spiritual problem is still the accuracy and integrity of God's Word. If there's one thing that we've learned throughout our lives, is that man's basic spiritual problem is the accuracy of God's Word. He does not believe what the Word says. And I'm not sure how much more simply it can be put. Now, that's a current trend out there. You know, speaking of prayer, which is a tool that we have and a big subject on its own that we've looked at quite frequently in the not so distant past, I received an email last month from Barney after my last sharing, and he sent me an article by Dr. David Jeremiah, and some of you probably know who he is and familiar with what he does, but the article entitled Spiritual Warfare Prayer, I have a little quote here that I'd like to read to you. It says, after describing the armor of God in Ephesians 6, Paul envelops the entire metaphor in what is truly the Christian's primary source of defense and offense. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Ephesians 6:18. What does it mean to pray always? It means to be in a constant state of fellowship and communication with God. It means to live in a constant state of awareness of being in His presence. When we regularly commit our cares to God, asking Him, praising Him, thanking Him for His provision, we're living in His presence. Yes, the affairs of daily life will interrupt us and momentarily redirect our attention away from God, but our overarching attitude and awareness of Him do not stop. And authority that we've already been given. What is it that we're afraid of that it might work? Not sure what to do about a given situation? Well, here's what you do. You get alone with God and you tell Him what's exactly on your heart. Remember what that's called? It's called the secret place. You get into a quiet place and cry out to the Father. And then you get into a public place and you take risks. And that's the beauty of this Agape Now outreach that goes on every weekend. You know, you may go, you may not go, you may feel, well, I don't know what you feel about it, but at least that's an opportunity to test and prove the Word. And if one thing doesn't work, then guess what? You get back with God and then you go out and try again. I mean, what will it take to propel us to get into that place with the Father? Wow. Incredible stuff. I just don't have time for all of this, but let's see. So here we go. You know, we try so hard over and over again. Most of what we're looking for, we already got it. Man, oh man. One of the tactics that, actually, before I talk about that, I'm going to talk about us and God, which is a partnership. You know, He has given us everything that we need to get what we want or even what God wants. We want to see people get healed? Well, guess what? We have what it takes to make that happen. But God needs us to be proactive in operating the Word. You know, we all know what John 14:12 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. How much simpler can it get? I mean, what could be greater than healing the sick? What could be greater than raising someone from the dead? What could be greater than casting out devils? You know, I was so blessed by Barney sharing last weekend. Power of pause. You know, man is such an overthinker. Keeps going and going and going and going, attempting to prove himself to be capable of doing the things that God has already enabled him to do. You know, our minds are programmed to get in the way on a consistent basis. You know, the world we live in has trained us to think over and over again about what we think about our own accomplishments, our own abilities, and our own worthiness. How about taking that pause? Realizing what we have and just be happy for a change. Just be happy. Remember that? I always tell folks to be happy, be humble. Take a minute. Take a pause. Realize the power that is in you because of the accomplished work of Jesus Christ. Stop trying so hard to prove yourself. You know, one of the tactics that the adversary loves to use against us is doubt. Doubt often comes in the form of distraction. Distraction from the presence of God. Distraction from the mindset of Christ. Distraction from keeping our thoughts on the Word. And most of the stuff happening out there is one big show that the devil likes to put on to keep us out of the presence of God. And to keep us from remembering who we are in Christ. He tries so hard over and over and over again to make us doubt the abilities that we have because of the truths of God's Word. That being said, one of the verses that really fascinates me the most is probably 1 Peter 5:8. Notice how it says that the devil seeks whom he may devour in that verse. The devil cannot just walk up to anyone and rob them of their health, their peace, or their family. He cannot just come into their life and enforce disease and destruction. If he was able to do that, then he would not have to prowl like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He would simply walk up to anyone he wants to devour and devour them. The truth of the word is that there are people who he cannot devour. The devil goes about like a roaring lion trying to stir up fear in people with his roars. The ones who are not devourable are those who refuse to be intimidated by his roars. They resist the devil and they are steadfast in the faith. They know what they possess. They know that Christ lives within them and that he is greater than he who is in the world. Once the devil knows that you believe your rights, your privileges, your authority, and your power in Christ, his days of intimidating are over. You are numbered among the undevourable. That's a quote from Allison Smith from a few years ago. Wow. This is good stuff. I know I haven't shared too many scripture verses this morning, but trust what I have shared is what God wanted to get across. You know, God has moved us to be something so powerful. And we already got it. We have the power of Christ within. What more could a person want? Sometimes we just need to wake up to the reality and confess what we have. Not a matter of receiving more from God, but a matter of appropriating more of what we already received. You know, in Ephesians 1, it says that we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ. So if that's true, then how much more is there to get? We don't have to get more, but we have to appropriate what we've already been given through the work of Jesus Christ. How is that possible? Romans 12:2 says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So get out there and put yourself in the Word and confess the truths of the Word. Put on the mindset of Christ. I can't do it for you. The person sitting next to you can't do it for you. And if you think you're an impossible case, well, then you're ripe for God's deliverance in your life. Wow. So I want to close out. Go ahead and get that song ready, Shati. But let's show the world what true freedom really looks like and operate what we have as true born-again ones in Christ. You are what the Word of God says you are. You have what the Word of God says you have. You will be what the Word of God says you will be. Not just because I said it, not because I said it, but because that, the truth of God's Word. Okay, I've asked Shakti to play this wonderful song by Gino. It's called I Believe. Then I'll pray and then we'll close out here this morning. So enjoy.
I've never seen the blood upon the lintel. I've never seen the parting of the seas, nor have I tasted manna come from heaven. And so you ask me, how can I believe when I've never seen the baby in the manger, nor have I heard of the coming of our Lord and Savior. Still I pray in Jesus' holy name. For I have heard the tongues of men and angels. I have felt the warmth of God's embrace. My lips have I've been filled with the fullness of His grace. So I believe, yes, I believe, I do believe. I wasn't there when Jesus walked upon the water, or raised the dead, or caused the blind to see. I only know He said the words that I do, you shall do also, yet greater works than these. I've never faced the trials or the torture. I've never felt the rod upon my back, but for my life Christ paid the price completely. The victory's won, and there's nothing that I lack. For I have heard the tongues of men and angels, and I my lips have tasted of the living water, and I've been filled with the fullness of God's grace. So I believe, yes, I believe, I do believe. I have felt the warmth of God's embrace. My lips have tasted of the living water, and I've been filled with the fullness of God's grace. So I believe, yes, I believe, I do believe.
All right, gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for having Christ in us. The power we have, if only we do it, Father. So I just pray for every person in this room that they can step out, be the Spirit of God-filled people that You have called them to be. And we want to thank You for all You've done for us, Father, because without You, we are nothing. All we can do is say thank You, Father. So it's in the powerful and wonderful name of Your Son, Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen.